Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. First, there was the Transfiguration. Jesus shining brightly on a mountain, the radiance of God's glory emanating from his humanity. Peter, James, and John saw it firsthand, eyewitnesses to the fact, and there was Jesus along with Moses and Elijah. And then down from the mountain and a demon that the other disciples couldn't cast out, and a crowd that had its doubts about Jesus. And the disciples had their doubts too. And then Jesus began to teach them about the way of the cross. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will arise. It doesn't get much plainer and blunter than that, does it? No cryptic sayings, no puzzling parables, simply a death and on the third day, a resurrection from the dead. St. Mark tells us that the disciples did not understand what Jesus had told them, and they were afraid even to ask Jesus about it. And who can blame them, really? What would you have done? What would you have thought at this point? You've given up your livelihood, literally you've given up your life to follow Jesus. You've put all your chips on him. He looks like a winner. He looks like the real deal, the Messiah everybody was waiting for, someone who is at last going to get the religious job done. He has the teaching, he has the miracles to back him up, and the crowds are on his side. He's gaining popularity. The movement appears to be growing and gaining momentum. The deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, demons are cast out, the dead are raised. All the signs are there pointing to Jesus. And then Jesus begins talking about his being handed over, about his being killed, about his rising from the dead on the third day. It's crazy talk. It's irrational talk. It's not the kind of talk one would expect from a respectable Messiah who should be assembling his army right about now and preparing to fight a holy war in Jerusalem. And so the disciples were afraid to ask, and they keep it all to themselves. Who would understand such things? Who would have orchestrated such things like this? Crucifixion, burial, resurrection. That's not our way. No way. We go with winners, not with losers. We go with successes, not with failures. We go with number one, not with the runner-up. That's how the world works. That's how we work. People join big churches because they're big. It's almost an axiom. It takes a crowd to draw a crowd. Winners like to hang out with winners. And that's why Christianity doesn't play well with winners when they discover that they're actually losers. Who wants to wake up every Sunday morning to come to church and confess what a big loser you are? What a wretch of a sinner you are in need of forgiveness? The world would have you believe that you are a winner entitled to your success, entitled to even more than that. Who wants to line up and declare with the Apostle Paul that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief, he says. No wonder the most popular versions of religion are always based on winning and not losing, of being the winner, not being the loser. And that, my friends, is the old Adam talking. The old sinful nature in us, the loser who won't admit That's what he is. The loser that pretends to be the winner, who tries to do it on his own, who wants to be a god, who shakes his fist at God and his ways, who insists of doing it his way, resisting the way of death and resurrection, which is ultimately the only way to eternal life. It must have been a long, long walk back to Galilee. They walked, remember. It's like one of those tense car trips. You know, the family's not getting along. No one's talking. Everybody wants to say something, but nobody, it's just all bottled up. It's going to pop, you know. And I try to picture in my mind's eye, is Jesus walking ahead of them and the whole band is following behind? Or is he trailing behind them and the whole band is ahead? But I do have this in my head. Jesus is by himself on this one. And he's just walking, and they are talking to each other about everything except the big pink elephant in the room. And that's what Jesus just said. And so what do you suppose they were discussing on the way back to Galilee? They were arguing with each other about which of them was the greatest. Who was the top dog? Was it Peter or was it John? Maybe James, the underdog. Let's talk about that. You know, it almost boggles our minds to think about this. Jesus had just uncorked the greatest prophecy of his ministry, the incredible, insane prediction that he would die and rise again in 3 days. I mean, that's just ludicrous, right? Or as Dizzy Dean once said, it ain't bragging unless you can do it. He did it, but they didn't know that yet. So he just said he's going to die and rise. And instead of pondering this or asking Jesus, now exactly what do you mean? Are you speaking figuratively or literally here? They argue over which one of them is the greatest. And we should be surprised at how the church is today, huh? I appreciate the honesty of Mark the evangelist. I love it. He delivers the eyewitness truth. This is the narrative of Peter. Mark recorded the preaching in the narrative of Peter. See, through the words of Mark, Peter admits that at this crucial moment in Jesus' ministry, the disciples, including Peter, completely missed the point, and they were preoccupied with their own position, their own greatness. And again, you see it. The old Adam wants to be the winner. Not the chief of sinners. The old Adam wants to be chief. It's in all of us. The drive to power, to control, to be the lead dog, to get everyone else to do it our way. And it goes beyond ambition. Ambition is simply setting goals and striving to attain them. This is something different. This is climbing up to the top on the backs of your brothers and your sisters. This is being so preoccupied with winning that you lose everything in the vortex of your own death. James talks about this in his epistle this morning. You know, James' congregation apparently is quite well off, successful businessmen, the movers, the shakers of his day. And he reminds his congregation that friendship with the world puts you at odds with God. And that the stance before God, no matter what your position in this world, is one of repentant humility. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the posture of faith before God is not one of pride or arrogance or boastfulness over all that you've accomplished and why God should be so proud of you and all that you've done and so tickled that you deigned to come into his presence. Rather, the stance of faith is humble and repentant and grateful for God's mercy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, says James, and he will exalt you. Humble yourselves. It's a lot easier than being humbled by the Lord, believe me. Humble yourselves. Far better to humble yourself with the expectation that God will lift you up than for God to humble you. He will exalt you in due time. He will. He will raise you. He will exalt you by your dying and rising. You can bank on it. So they're in the house at Capernaum, and Jesus gathers the 12 together, and he has a huddle, kind of like the way the football coach has a huddle with the team, and he's right there in the middle of them, and he says, guys, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to be a loser. If you want to come in first in my race, you need to come in last. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you must become the servant of all, because that's where I am. I, the Lord of all, have become the servant of all. And I am about to become the biggest loser in the religious world by getting myself crucified by the twin powers of religion and politics. But don't you worry about that for a second, because losing is winning in my kingdom, and I will rise on the third day more victorious in death than any of you guys can ever be in your life. You want to live the victorious life? Here's how you do it. Drop dead in my death. Die with me, and you live forever. And ever the good teacher, Jesus comes with an object lesson. A little child. I don't know where he gets this little child from, but there's this little child in the midst. And I want you to understand this. In Jesus' day and time, children were not the little winners that we treat them as today. Have you ever noticed how every child is in the 95th percentile of whatever it is we're measuring? Percentile, it means that there are ones below. In fact, when you're in the 95th percentile, 95% of them are below. I want some bumper sticker to say, my child is in the bottom quarter of his class. In Jesus' day, they did not glamorize or idolize childhood as some pure and noble and innocent state of being. Let me be blunt. Children were considered losers, a drain on the family assets that couldn't be raised quickly enough, and married off if you were a girl or put to work if you were a boy. There was, in Jesus' day, no luxury of prolonged childhood, no concept of adolescence, no time to find yourself or chase your dreams. It was an expressway to adulthood, and you got there as quickly as possible. And so now you understand the pattern here. Jesus picks up a child, and he stands there like that father there in the corner, a child small enough to be picked up and held in his arms. And he says, guys, if you want to understand greatness in the way of the cross, then you must become like this little kid I'm holding here in my arms. I must carry you, and you must trust me to carry you. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You know, we say don't send a boy to do a man's work. And yet Jesus says that's precisely what I'm doing. I'm sending little children in my name. And to receive them is to receive me. And to receive me is to receive my Father in heaven. Now, we're talking childlike, not childish. Please get that straight. We have plenty of childish Christians around who need, at some point, to come to a full measure of their maturity in Christ. We hope that happens soon. Jesus is talking childlike, which means trusting and teachable and receivable. Trusting as a child trusts his mama and his papa. Receiving as a child receives all things without any merit or worthiness on her part. Teachable, as a child hears from his or her teachers and repeats it as the truth, graced by God's undeserved kindness in God's beloved child, Jesus, our Savior. You see, you understand this passage and you understand this illustration only as you understand Jesus as the child of God. He is the Father's child. He is that child held eternally in the arms of his Father, and you baptized into him are that child of God too. He is the one who came not to be first, but to be last. He is the Lord of all who came to be servant of all. He is the one who came to lay down his life to save this world. And you, baptized into him and believing in him, have become last with him. joining the ranks of those who have lost their lives in order to gain their life, living this life not to be served, but to serve others, and to serve others as Christ has served you. Of course, it can only be understood at the cross. And I don't mean a symbolically empty cross. I mean a cross with a dead Jesus on it. There is greatness in the kingdom of God, my friends, and it is seen in this world as dead Jesus on a cross. This is power, perfected in weakness. This is glory, such as the world cannot comprehend. This is victory, right in the midst of death itself. This is you, baptized and believing. That's your life as it appears in this world, dead and crucified and lost. You are a loser in this world if you believe this stuff. Ted Turner once said as much. He said, Christianity is the religion for losers. At least he gets that much. That's right, conceptually speaking. And when he recognizes what a big loser he is, he can join the ranks. But to lose your life in Jesus, the great grand loser, is to win your life forever. That's the secret. Trust it in the way of a little child, and you will see it. You have his word. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.